Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse Number 13. Gopuradwara Margesu. Krita Kotuka Toranam. Chitra Dvaja Pataka Grair. Anta pratihatat apam. The city gateway, the household doors, and festoon arches along the roads were all nicely decorated with festive signs, like plantain trees and mango leaves, all to welcome the Lord. Flags, garlands, and painted signs and slogans all combined to shade the sunshine. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Signs of decoration in special festivals were all collected from the gifts of nature, such as the plantain trees, the mango trees, fruits, flowers, and flowers, mango trees, coconut palms, and plantain trees are still accepted as auspicious signs. The flags mentioned above were all painted with the picture of either Garuda or Hanuman, the two great servitors of the Lord. For devotees, such paintings and decorations are still adored, and the servitor of the Master is paid more respects for the satisfaction of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is Krishna conscious culture, where one uses the natural opulence of nature for decoration. They don't get plastic flags and plastic cloth and plastic this and plastic that. They get real leaves, real flowers, real trees, and like the plantain tree and the mango tree and mango leaves to welcome the Lord, and flags and garlands and painted signs, hand-painted, of course, and slogans all combined to shade the sunshine. So you can just imagine how glorious the natural decorations were. And now, I mean, the residents of Dwarka are so happy that Krishna is coming back. And they've gone through all these preparations to auspiciously welcome the Lord. And it says, and thus each and every house on the roads and streets distributed such remnants of food.
It says that the mango trees, coconut palms, and plantain trees are still accepted as auspicious signs.
Well, this is in India. In the United States, it is Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck are auspicious signs. You know, and the flags mentioned above were all painted with the picture of either Garuda or Hanuman. Nowadays, they have Michael Jordan and Madonna. You know. And the two great servitors of the Lord. For devotees, such paintings and decorations are still adored. It doesn't say they enjoy them. They say they worship them, in a sense, adored. And the servitor of the Master is paid more respects for the satisfaction of the Lord. Yes, so becoming a servitor of the Lord is glorious. Now, the word servitor in English implies someone who's a peon, you know,
the master tells him, do this, do that, mistreats the servant. So nobody wants to be a servant for such masters. But servant of the Lord is paid great respect because they're working only for the satisfaction of Krishna, not for their own satisfaction, and they're working out of love, not because they're being paid. Oftentimes Prabhupada would say, I have not paid these boys and girls. They are coming because there is substance to the preaching. They're not going, they're all from Christian and Jewish and Muslim families, but there is substance here. What's the substance? It's Vedic knowledge. It's knowledge of who God actually is. Janma karma chame divyam ivanyo veti tatvata tyakvateham punar janma. Naiti mameti sarjana. So this verse, the fourth chapter, 11th verse, or 9th verse, it says that anyone who knows the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So this knowledge of Krishna, janma karma chame divyam, this transcendental appearance and of the Krishna's janma and karma, is so powerful that it can liberate a person from the cycle of birth and death. So all these details that we're reading here about the way the residents of Vrindavan are welcoming Krishna back to Vrindavan, and how the residents of Hastinapur were so, in a sense, had great melancholy and, because the Lord was leaving, ostensibly, Hastinapur. These are all transcendental emotions that devotees can appreciate. And materialists, they're not so, let's say, affected by these things. Why? Because they have no knowledge of Krishna, so therefore for them it doesn't mean anything. But for devotees, this has great significance because it's showing the culture, the culture of how to glorify the Lord with natural opulences like mango trees and coconut leaves and so forth. And in this purport, Prabhupada says, although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers. Yes, so when Krishna appears as Lord Rama, or he appears as Matsya Avatar, or Varaha Avatar, or Kurma Avatar, that's the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one is appearing as a boar, or Nrisingadev, as a half lion, half man, or as a gigantic fish, or as Lord Rama, very beautiful, saintly king and husband of Sita Devi and so forth. It's the same personality. Of course, people only see the body and they think, well, I can just say that it doesn't look anything like God. It's a big pig. Yeah, but it's not an ordinary pig, and it's not an ordinary fish, and it's not an ordinary lion. So therefore, these transcendental pastimes of the Lord are relishable for devotees, and they seem to be some kind of foolish fantasy to the materialist. As stated in the Vedas, Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Eko Devo Nitya Lila Nunakto Bhakta Vyapi Hridi Antar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. This Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita, that is 4th chapter, 9th verse. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Well, the Mayavadis, they interpret this phrase, Tattvamasi, Vedic phrase. It's called a Mahavakya, a great, great statement of spiritual truth. But they misinterpret it. They say, Tattvamasi means, I am that. That's not even English, I am that. Or, I am he. That's not English. However, Madhvacharya says, no, that's not the Sanskrit translation of Tattvamasi. The Sanskrit translation of Tattvamasi is, I am his. I belong to Krishna. But in this context, when it says, the Vedic version of Tattvamasi is actually applied in this case. What is that? That, this gigantic board, that's Krishna. That's him. It doesn't look like him, but it is him. And how do we know? Because one, that incarnation has been predicted already. And number two, because of the absolute extraordinary activity that no one else could emulate. Say. Or Vamanadeva, who can stretch his leg to the far reaches of the universe and even go beyond it, even though he's a midget. And Matsya, this gigantic fish, and Nrisingadeva, this half lion, half man, who is able to kill this gigantic demon, Hiranyakashipu. So, Tattvamasi, in other words, he's saying, that's the Lord. Even though he doesn't have two arms and two legs, it's still the Lord. That's his transcendental incarnation. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. Prabhupada says, the faithful devotee attains perfection. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection. And this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. Tameva viditvate mrityum eti nanya panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there's no other way to achieve this perfection. Svatasvatara Upanishad 3.8. So what are we studying every day? We're studying who is Krishna. If we learn who is Krishna, we are liberated from this world. And when we see these different incarnations of the Lord, we know that's him. It's not a different person. It's not a different thing. Of course, the demigods are not Krishna. They are his servants. But sometimes Krishna also appears as a demigod when there's no qualified person in that universe to take the position. So sometimes he can appear as Brahma or Indra. But those are exceptional things. But when he appears by the scheduled incarnations, the devotees are never bewildered. They understand who he is. That there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently, he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. So, faith and knowledge. So, what is knowledge? Knowledge means that you hear on every day, and preferably morning and evening, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by bona fide devotees. That way, you acquire real knowledge, and any misconceptions you may have will be eventually erased by regular hearing. We often come up with something that is, we believe to be true, but is not true, because of imperfect hearing. That is our fault. Sometimes we don't hear properly. One time, I remember one devotee corrected me. He said, "Oh, you don't have to always give your obeisances to," I think he said, "Tulsi Devi." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." And then I asked some other devotees. He told me I don't have to always give my obeisances to Tulsi Devi. He said, "Who said that?" "Oh, and this other person." "So what's his authority?" I said, "I don't know. He looks like an older devotee." So sometimes people say things that are just not right at all, you know. And then that's the point. You know, what is the authority? Where's that quote? Where did Prabhupada ever say that? Is that said anywhere in the scriptures? So we have to always double check everything that we think we know, because we easily can make a mistake due to imperfect hearing, because our senses are limited. Okay, so then so this is a wonderful verse too, although its purport is very short and the verse is short, because it gives us a window into the culture of Krishna consciousness, which is all full of beauty and natural opulence and auspicious signs, nothing negative. See, this is the, if you become a Mayavadi, like for example, if you have ever gone to a Baha'i temple, You have. What did you see in that temple? Nothing, right? It's just a building, right? Maybe, you know, like, have you ever seen the Lotus Temple in Delhi? What's inside? Nothing. You know, it's just this building, and it goes up, you know, like that, and there's a hole in the ceiling. You know, you can see the sky. Well, yeah, but if you go to Krishna temple, you know, there's deities, there's flowers, there's, you know, there's flags, right? There's flags, you know, and there's paintings of the Lord, and, you know, it's a different world, right? And you go to a Mayavadi temple, and basically there's nothing, you know. Maybe there's a picture of some guru, you know, who's saying there's nothing, you know. So now we're getting a picture of what the culture of Krishna consciousness is. It's everything is, you know, festooned arches and beautiful plantain trees and mango leaves and flags and garlands and painted signs and slogans. And so this is culture. And now it's going to describe in the next verses more of this culture. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.